Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I've got one more thing to say, and it'll only take me a second. I've got two words that I want you all to remember. They're very important. And if I leave you with anything, I'm going to leave you with these two words. And those two words are, I'm Batman.
And that was everything you need on a football Monday, where I think we covered it pretty well. I know I got to almost all that is in what I can make out of my in-game notes. So Anthony Herron helped out. Dan Wiederer helped out. As always, big thanks to our production staff of Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka. The whole crew has been here helping out. Marshall Harris, thanks again, my man.
We didn't get through the backup offensive lineman, but we got time.
Unfortunately, I think we may have to do that all too soon. Also, thanks to Shake Shack for bringing by these delicious chicken sandwiches. And we were mentioning, usually it's Victory Chicken, but they're trying this out. They wanted to let us check out the product and all that. So I guess because they covered the spread, we get chicken. So we did. And now here is it Spiegel and Company?
Spiegel and Company, ladies and gentlemen. And today's company is my dear friend Patrick Manley. What up, Pat?
Nothing much. I just wanted to say this because we were talking just before we came on the air. Of all the great games that were on Sunday, I kind of love being like the pre- and post-game host for night games because I can actually be a fan.
Oh,
so I'm sitting on my TV, the YouTube TV with four games going on. My wife is like, what is that? And how do you do that? And I'm like, this is like heaven. I love night games, so I can sit there and
do that. Right there with you, man. Whenever the Bears have an island game like that, I was red zone as backdrop for the entire day.
Yeah.
You just like, take me, Scott Hansen, in your firm hands and deliver football goodness.
Firm hands. Firm hands, firm pocket. Firm is important.
That's right. Matt Eberflus said he wants Caleb Williams to be able to stay in a firm pocket. And I said, from your mouth to the ears of the football gods, if you can show me a firm pocket in which he's expected to stay, then we can talk.
Well, let me ask you, 16-year veteran Patrick Manley, who watched a lot of football yesterday. I feel like we should make one thing clear to everybody. The Houston Texans, they are absolutely a Super Bowl caliber team. If you're telling me that's your AFC champion, I am like, okay, I believe that it firmly with that skill position talent and how good Stroud is, and now both of those defensive ends. You see the way Will Anderson moves, and we'll rip apart the Bears offensive line and the coaching and everything, of course, but like Will Anderson moves like a point guard darting through the lane, and he's that big and fast. And Daniil Hunter, Lane Thomas says that guy rushes the passer like a werewolf. That's what that looked
like. The problem is they look like the Showtime Lakers on the fast break against the Bears offensive line. That's the problem.
True. Yeah, that is very true.
But just to be clear,
a wolf?
A werewolf.
Because werewolves are...
Because they turn from man to wolf to... What's that?
No, you got it.
They're lycanthropes. Yes.
And when they are still in male form but becoming a wolf, they move like a wolf with two legs.
Okay.
I think that's the...
It makes sense.
Oh, okay. That's the assumption.
I get it. Okay.
So,
no, but that team yesterday, they went too deep last year right in the playoffs, right? They beat Cleveland and lost to the Ravens.
Yep. Yes.
They improved. That's what they kept talking about last night, how they improved, their receivers, their defense. They've just... C.J. Stroud's another year older and better and wiser.
And still that's on a rookie contract.
Yes, and a darn good team. To me, you could say right now, if you they're in the AFC Championship game right now, sure, I could see that. Super Bowl contenders, yes. Super Bowl winners, I don't know. I still want to see Cincinnati play a little bit more and the Chiefs play a little bit more. But right now, that's a darn good football team. And the Bears were in it for a little while. Offensive line, we'll talk about that, how bad that was. But otherwise, our defense looked fantastic.
They were in it for the first game with the first half with the help of the offense. And they were in it in the second half with no help from the offense. That was a one-score game with a loss.
We got to let everybody know that.
Without a doubt.
We'll spin a little positive at it. I'm sure we will because there always is. And I think Cole Kmet was talking about there's always a little bit of positive when you watch a tape in a loss. and there's a whole lot of negative, but there's always a little positive.
And if you don't have a goal line fumble, then sure. obviously we're talking where the narrative's
but
all
they caused it.
But that's what's so great about the defense.
Good player caused it. That's what good players do.
Yeah, man. It's, I just want, like, that should be the backdrop for everything we're going to do all afternoon. That's a Super Bowl caliber team at their place on a Sunday night.
Okay, but the offense still has to look like
no doubt. That's number one. No doubt.
Without a doubt, it's not a binary situation.
No. You're right. I just want to point out, like, you just can't be 3rd and 9, 12, 14, like almost every time you have the football.
Right, but if you think about the games down the line, who else they're going to play, the talent's not going to be that high.
They're not
so
ready.
So maybe they can protect a little bit better. Caleb and the receivers will get better connections, you hope, and you want to see that growth. So
Keenan Allen will be on the field.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but like this whole operation, the whole organization, the quarterback, the coordinator, everything – they are in no way. They're not ready for that smoke, and it was obvious.
Oh yeah, but we told them that before the game. That's the thing. Like, we get on this 24 hours after the game, and we just like But I'm like, 24 hours before the game, we knew what it was going to be. We didn't know maybe the exact form it was going to take, but we knew the Bears were going to go on the road, be a 6.5-point dog, and lose to the Houston Texans on Sunday Night Football.
What if it's Week 8? How are you going to feel about this thing in Week 8? In your gut, do you feel like you would feel better?
If they look the same way?
No.
Well, no. No. My point is
this. With 6 more weeks of, hopefully, adjustments and growth.
Do they have a
change,
new center?
See, no, I knew that was coming.
No, Dan, they don't.
Well, they don't have an NFL center.
Oh, no, they really
Ryan Bates
don't.
Could
they can
be
change
an NFL
schemes up, and I do want to talk about that later, what they can do for protection-wise in the run game and stuff like that. But coaches need to adjust. I think they are figuring out their personnel, and Shane Waldron right now is not everybody's favorite here in Chicago. That's obvious, right? You know, he's got a long way to go. There's some things that he's got to figure out with the talent he has on that team.
I know so much has changed since you played in terms of what the preseason is and means.
Yes, yes.
So, like, my immediate answer is like, didn't you have the preseason to figure that out? But apparently they didn't.
Yeah.
So
I think O-line play is so different now. There's no padded practices really in the preseason practice. You know, Ola and I joke, you don't call it camp anymore. It's practice. You know, they just have one practice today and all that kind of stuff. So I think development of those guys and figuring out how they work together, and it showed up yesterday. They can't pick up stunts. They're terrible at it. And that takes some time to figure out your guy next to you. And if they start rolling guys in, that's going to take it even longer. But I think that's part of it. But I am a little shocked that, even though he is a rookie, I am a little shocked at how much they keep talking about they're not on the same page, him and DJ, him and Rome. That stuff, they've been throwing routes on air.
Yeah. We'll talk plenty about the offensive line. I want to save some of that thoughts. I have a theory on Poles and Cunningham that we'll do as part of our lead at around 220. And a whole bunch of other stuff going on. But to your point on Caleb, like there's the one back shoulder to DJ Moore where Caleb makes a bad throw that's wide. There's the late what he thought was going to be a back shoulder to Rome on the final throw of the game that Rome just kept going. And that one was apparently on Rome, but there is too many moments of not being on the same page.
No doubt. And like I said, that's stuff you can do as a receiver and quarterback, and you're doing 7-on-7s all the time. You should be able to adjust to that. So I think that communication should be a little more clear, even though he is a rookie right now. Or maybe that's up to Shane. Maybe he's complicating it for everybody.
Did you guys touch on the absurdity of the NFL not being able to make a ruling when a player punches another one in the face?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Just because there wasn't a flag play.
The NFL will make a ruling.
Yes.
Yeah, it just won't be in game.
No, I mean in the game.
That would have helped the Bears.
The officials... Yeah, like by rule, they can't go back and do anything on video until Thursday.
Well, that it's outrageous that you can, in the NFL office, they can watch the video like we all are before the next play is snapped.
Kick him out.
Kick him the hell out of the game. He had lost his mind.
He lost
his mind. He punches a guy and then
pushes
like,
a guy.
And then he headbutts a guy. And then like 30 minutes later, he's taunting the Bears sideline for about 15 seconds consecutively because he's still in the game and realizes he's emboldened getting away with everything.
I'm still shocked that Roschon Johnson didn't punch back.
Yeah,
you get punched in the face. That's just like a natural reaction. Like you go back.
But you didn't get punched in the face. Yeah, you got punched in the face
mask.
Helmet.
Yeah, face but mask. Still,
a fist is coming at your face.
I understand that, but when
but
you
took
know
it,
you're
he looked
wearing
at him like,
helmet.
Dude,
wait.
I have a helmet on. Why are you punching me? That's true. Like, that's right. How he looked at
it. But that's us. We're football players. We're stupid. We punch each other with helmets on, and you react to it.
I thought I told Dan. I was like, I thought in 2024 we'd be smart enough not to just punch people in helmets.
Right.
That's how you break your hand if you punch 100%. Hard enough. Like, yes. What are we doing?
Cubs had a pitcher who broke his hand punching the wall. Man, nobody's smart.
Yeah.
I forgot to do this today.
Pat Mattingly.
I forgot to give out the completely meaningless award for the person who made the most out of the least playing time. The most efficient defensive player on the Bears, Jack Sanborn. I just want to say.
Oh, yeah.
The very first play of the game.
Hip ball going deep middle.
And really, for a guy who's not that athletic, to swivel his hips to make that play and to jump in the air, pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. And then he gets a sack mm-hmm. later. So he's almost never on the field outside of special teams. So people are going to say, why aren't they playing this Sanborn more? Well, if he can keep getting the most out of limited opportunities by at least somebody mentioning his name when he's out there, outstanding work for the young local lad from
Lake Zurich. He would have got a lot of snaps like 15, 20 years ago.
When you could play a guy like that. Yes. Yeah.
Like Hunter Hillemeyer got a lot of snaps with playing the same position.
Yes.
And that was just the game was different. Now it's, you know, it's four or five wides.
Yeah. You got to have DBs on the field.
He played 11 snaps.
And is that all he played was 11?
Two impact plays. Yes.
11 snaps. That's pretty good. 18% of the plays. Kyler Gordon out there for the other 82%.
And
it's literally him with those two guys.
You know the Hunter Hillenmeyer, like Hawk Harrelson, mundane ability at which he was amazing? Hunter Hillenmeyer? Blocking on an interception return.
Oh, yes. The field goal block. Field goal return against the New York Giants in New York.
But always. Anytime. Yes. Whatever the fire call is.
Jay Feely got
anything,
crushed.
Somebody behind him. Stay away from Hunter Hillenmeyer.
No, again, another smart heads-up special teams player. Like he was my guard on punt team, so a lot of times my head's between my legs, and he's telling me what's going on in front of me. He helped me a ton. So very, very smart guy. Did everything, right.
Yes.
That guy.
Hard to cut.
I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to hear the prediction that was made on this Monday. Guaranteeing a victory over the Indianapolis Colts on the road with one Dan Bernstein.
Who made that prediction? Oh. Bernsey did?
Yeah.
Well,
they're going to win this game.
Forrest Buckner might be out. Was it Latu or whatever? He's injured. He might not
they're
be going to
win
as
this
well.
You see
what the Colts have done on defense the last 2 weeks? They've allowed 200 yards rushing in each game.
They're bad.
Yeah, well, this is the Bears' chance.
And the Bears have 155 yards rushing, period, this season, through two games.
This is a get-well game.
Okay. We'll visit to the old urgent care. Mm-hmm. Get patched up real quick.
I'm trying to find a stat here. It was from the Texans-Colts game. Oh, their secondary, the Colts against the Texans. So I was doing some pre-scouting for the game. They had 43 tackles, the secondary.
The secondary did?
Against the Texans.
Wow.
That's when Joe Mixon went off.
Joe Mixon
went crazy.
But
that just says a lot about their front. They had some guys, but they destroyed them up front. They had 43 tackles.
And then,
safety, 43 tackles by the second.
And then yesterday, Matt LaFleur is just a damn good play caller and offensive coordinator. Yeah. And it seems to be a head coach, but I know that his offense is functioning at a high level. Malik Willis, man.
I'm saying you're not going to give Malik any credit?
Not much, no, as a matter of fact.
I'm glad you asked the answer.
See how many rushing attempts they had yesterday?
A lot.
53 rushing attempts.
For 261, right?
53 for 261 for the Packers. They won a game without Jordan Love. Against a Colts team. I mean, just running the ball down their freaking throats. And they always have been able to. What if they wanted to lean on Aaron Jones over the last few years, they could.
They got Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Smart move. Is the running back coming back? You know what I mean? I heard you guys talking about the 300-yard passer.
Yeah, because you can control the game on the ground, which I thought
the running game is coming back. Not necessarily the running back.
No, but we're all committees over here. Like, unless you're Saquon Barkley tonight or somebody.
Right. And what has Harbaugh always done anywhere that he goes?
Fixes the O-line.
You saw Dobbins?
He fixes the O-line, and he runs it with whoever the hell he has.
Dobbins got back-to-back 100-yard rushing it. First time they've had that since, 2000, I want to say 6. I could be off on that, but it's been years since they've had back-to-back 100-yard rushers in L.A.
Harbaugh was asked about 2 months ago, what are you going to do to make Justin Herbert better? And he said, we're going to give him a running game.
Yeah.
And here they are. They're number 2 in the NFL in running. The Packers are 1. You know who's 3? The Saints. Clint Kubiak is the Bobby Slowick Jr. of the moment. He's
tailoring some stuff to fit his personnel.
Alvin Kamara is a freaking beast. And like anybody who's a hardcore Saints fan will tell you that Pete Carmichael, like, just completely underused Alvin Kamara the last three seasons. And 100%. Here's Kamara now being used
in the correct way.
Guy might have been on a Hall of Fame track, except for the last 3 years of Pete Carmichael. That's the number three rushing team in the country. Derek Carr is scoring every single drive for the Saints. Clint Kubiak is the guy that you're going to hear getting mentioned for head coaching jobs, like Bobby Slowick Jr. did last year, like Ben Johnson in Detroit.
So Caleb Williams wants an O-line. I think DeAndre Swift might be number two in line for that, wanting an O-line.
Oh, okay.
So we got a running back. Yes, we got a running back. I've always liked him. Had some, issues in Detroit. Had a good year last year, but I thought they made the right decision getting him. There's just no running lanes for him.
I know who's number three on that. That would be anybody on defense would like to have.
Well, Anthony Heron made the point that if you really know Swift's game, you know that he's not a banger. No, he is a more delicate sort of dancer of a back.
I don't really agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
I think of him as a slasher. I think of him as like bam, bam. Like,
he said that he's an open field guy.
I don't necessarily agree with that either, as a matter of fact. I mean, I've referenced the game that the Eagles had last year against the Vikings. I was watching it live when all of a sudden they ran him like nine times out of a 15-play drive and just used him as a bell cow. He can be used that way. I think Shane Waldron's run fits look awful to me. They don't look like they match. Things look like they're way too tricky intentionally.
You're talking
about
the scheming of it.
Yes.
Well, okay. Olin said that don't run left because the left side of the line was having trouble getting off quickly enough on the silent count.
Yes. There's some fixes that need to be made. I can't wait to talk to Pat about the offensive line and about Shane Waldron and a lot more. Kurt Warner coming up at 3:00. We'll talk with him, obviously, about Caleb and about quarterbacking and if you can be broken when there are 36 pressures on 37 passes. 49 dropbacks, 36 pressures. What does that do to a quarterback? Mark Grody at 4:00 and Jalen Johnson at 5:00. Among the things we'll ask him, did he want to fire back at Nico Collins when Nico threw an elbow at his helmet as he spun around on that touchdown? He held back some restraint from Jalen Johnson. So we got a lot to do. The arrogance of the first-timers on display, offensive line executives who don't spend on the offensive line. What the hell is that about? We will talk about that to kick things off. Tanny's Open gets us going. It's Tanny and Shane, Spiegel & Company with Pat Manley on the Score.